Hello and welcome back to the return of Multimodal. This is a podcast about, we used to say GPT-3, now we say ChatGPT. You know, we used to say it's about DALL-E 2 or multimodal AI models. Now I would say, you know, maybe Midjourney, right? Some certain uses of Stable Diffusion. I guess it's still about multimodal models. And this is also a podcast about OpenAI, although times are different now. I kind of like Anthropic more, right? But anyways, this is definitely not a podcast about today. This is a podcast about tomorrow. So I want to thank you for tuning in to the return of Multimodal. I apologize. The whole year has gone by. I looked at the calendar last week and I couldn't believe half a year. And, you know, we're also in a different era. Like, I mean, just listen to my intro. It's like I just got, you know, imagine the solid intro that I've been doing for a year, year and a half now. It's completely different. We're just in a different era. And so I want to welcome you back. We'll talk a little bit about the era we're in. But also, I wanted to just say, so this is a lo-fi edition of the podcast. What do I mean when I say lo-fi? There's no video. There's no fancy lighting behind me. I'm sort of, you know, got a different mic setup that I'm experimenting with. And I want something less structured, not as structured and point by point as, you know, last year's podcasts. And I want something more free-flowing, stream of consciousness, raw, sort of bringing the podcast, if you've been listening for a while, bringing it back to sort of the early days of the podcast, like more stream of consciousness and that kind of stuff. And so I thought it'd be really fun to record and, you know, maybe tune into something like this versus something which was very structured, which I felt was more necessary last year. I apologize. It's been half a year. But with that said, I mean, it's never too late. And let's be honest here. I mean, there's not like a shortage of AI content nowadays, right? And so anyways, yeah, I thought this episode, maybe I'd share some personal life updates, talk what I've been up to this year. I thought also it'd be cool to maybe talk a little bit about the era we're in, some of the ways that I'm absorbing it, reflecting on it. And then if we have time, maybe I will talk about the OpenAI Super Intelligence Alignment Team announcement, which I thought was peculiar, to be honest. So anyways, it is so good to be back. I have missed you. And I'm excited to just share different things. I kind of got a fresh perspective on a lot of stuff because last year was just so crazy. I felt like I didn't even have time to think or breathe. And also, I was being scrutinized a lot publicly last year as well. So welcome back. And thank you for sticking with me. Especially shout out to the OG listeners who've been listening from the beginning. Personal updates on my life. So, it's been a lot of things. So I would say earlier this year, I accomplished a lot of my biggest goals. So, you know, I purchased a home, and if you don't know, in Canada, like, you know, we're in like a housing crisis, right? So, it was a tremendous achievement, to be honest. I'm really proud of myself. And I had spent like the past two and a half years, like, saving up and all that stuff. You know, things are really, really bad and unaffordable out here, but I'm grateful to secure that, because definitely housing is, you know, security. It was a whole journey even to get this. I'm sure anybody in real estate or somebody's bought a home before just knows how hectic and time consuming and draining and how much of a push and pull and journey it is to just purchase real estate. Another big update is I also moved downtown. So I live downtown Toronto now. I felt like I needed a change of scenery personally and creatively, like I wasn't 100%. And so that was like a huge change. I guess a smaller change is my phone died on me 2 weeks ago. And so I even switched from Android to iPhone. You know, my life is completely different since earlier this year. And so focusing on these big goals, like it was so time consuming. Like I just did not have time to upload. And at the same time, like I also just felt there were many weeks where I didn't have much to say. One of the benefits of the era we're living in is there's no shortage of AI content. Like if you love the industry developments, analysis, there's never been, you know, more tools, more commentators. CNN is talking about GPT-4, right? Like, this is the kind of stuff that I never imagined, you know, being, you know, pretty much, I think at one point I was like the only podcast or, you know, YouTube channel covering this stuff, right? And so it's surreal, obviously, even for someone like me. Like, I don't want to work for OpenAI or have any affiliation with them. And so I've also just really enjoyed listening to other kinds of AI content out there, and just tuning in, hearing different analysis. And so, I mean, I'm sure you guys will refer to other kinds of content that's out there in the meantime. Yeah, like I, you know, so I was busy with that. I mean, there was some other personal life stuff, right? Like, you know, I was seeing someone and we split up. And if you follow me on Twitter, like it, you know, it really did affect me. I'd say I lost like 2-3 months this year just sort of dealing with that. I learned about grief, you know, I guess relearned it. I hadn't had a breakup this bad in a long time. Like, it, you know, it was almost like I was in high school again and experiencing strong emotions like at that level, right? Like I just couldn't believe it. And so yeah, I learned a lot about grief. I guess ironically, like I was talking to ChatGPT about it, ironically, unironically, and sort of getting some mild grief counseling. It is crazy the kinds of emotions you go through and just the cycle of it throughout the day. And I learned a lot about myself. I definitely learned about relationships and just sort of how much they mean to me, like even like my friendships, you know. And I was glad, you know, I got a strong network of friends and family, and you know, I was able to reach out and, you know, work with different people. And sort of, you know, I'd say in a few weeks I was you know, mostly back to normal and functional. So obviously these things are really hard at first. So that was another thing. And then yeah, I've sort of had some not health stuff that's been bad, but some health stuff actually that's been good, but I've just been focused on that. And so anyways, that's me personal life. However, I guess I'd share like in this lo-fi edition of the podcast, I wanted to share that, like, you know, I'm reading this book right now called Future Shock. It was written a long time ago and it was all about sort of, you know, at one point we'll be in this technological era where things are just changing and moving so fast that, you know, you don't even feel like there's stability. Like, it's hard to latch on to anything and feel stable because everything around you, underneath you, surrounding you is changing. And so I've just sort of been absorbing that. I've also been reading another book called More Work for Mother. It was basically about the effects of automation in the early 21st century, and how it affected the home, and how even though in theory all these crazy developments like the microwave and the oven and all these things should have made women less busy, they were busier than ever. And so, you know, just thinking about automation, thinking about change. Last October, I was also studying neuroscience, so I've done a bit of that. And so, yeah, there were many periods this year where I just didn't have much to say. I didn't have much to add. And to be honest, there's just also a lot of noise, right? And so, anyways, now that I've moved downtown, I apologize if, you know, you can hear a lot of background noise or whatever. You know, I still have like my previous recording setup. It's just I wanted something more intimate like this. I apologize for the background noise, but hopefully it's okay. And, you know, I'm a little bit more settled in now. I've accomplished these sort of big goals. And so now I actually have time to sort of breathe and, you know, soak things in. And creatively, like, I'm just more energized and inspired than ever. And I have just a little bit more time to think about AI and think about where things are going. And so now I think I'll chat a little bit about the era we're currently in. So, I mean, to start with, you know, the AI media landscape, as a fan, it's awesome, right? Like, we've never had this much analysis, this many people covering it. We've never had major media organizations sort of, you know, tuning in to all the developments in this very, very specific world. You know, my, you know, people like my parents reached out to chat with me finally about things like ChatGPT, you know, and they're hearing about it. And, you know, it's like we're, you know, we are in this whole new world, right? So the experience has been quite surreal. On the other hand, you know, it's also just entertaining to, and it's pretty messed up to just see the amount of grifters that are in the AI media space now, like how, you know, people are really, really, you know, trying to turn this into media empires and stuff and sort of, to be honest, deceive and manipulate the masses, right? So at least AI media wise, like I spent time thinking about it, like what is it about it that just draws these media grifters, these wannabe influencers, these wannabe hustlers kind of into it. And for sure, part of it is like Bitcoin and crypto is over or like very dead right now. And so they're coming over to this space because it just seems like the next thing. But I think part of it as well is there's something about AI where you can just promise anything, right? That you can become richer, you can have more time, you can be free, you can spend more time with your family, you know, you could feel less lonely. These are the kinds of emotional and psychological appeals which AI can promise and may deliver in ways that I think is harder with other kinds of things like real estate, right? Like I think it's more immediate. But I also think, too, these grifters are quite astute. Like I think at some level they understand their audience psychologically. And I think if they immediately sense their audience is suddenly interested in AI, that's now what they're going to talk about. Before, the audience was interested in crypto, then they were interested in NFTs, right? And so they talked about that. And so, yeah, I mean, it's quite shameless. It's quite disgusting. But if you just think about the surface area of AI, like it's just so big and it has so much promise that, of course, it would draw in scum like these people, right? And, you know, I think it's also there's a lot of AI and technological illiteracy, right? Like people do not understand these models, their limitations, the risks, the dangers. And maybe there is some public education, some media literacy component to it, because somebody who may have had that media literacy training would not buy into a lot of what these grifters are saying. But even then, I think even the grifters themselves have some level of intelligence. I think maybe the reason so many people are doing AI media things is because they maybe in their heads, they just assume this might be the only thing left, right? If AI gets automated, it does all the jobs, perhaps maybe one job that will remain will be media and commentary. And so in order to just survive for a living, maybe, you know, one should start like an AI media blog or whatever. And then part of it is too, like, I think there's just a class of people, like I know a lot of Gen Z and people younger, like they want to be influencers, which is something I don't quite understand. But again, like I'm not that age, right? So they need to talk about something. And so why not just pick the trendy thing? And so, it, you know, it's dual-sided, right? Like on one hand, there's a YouTuber, AI Explained. I love his videos, like how, you know, he's talking about super intelligence. You know, he sort of was tracking Sam Altman, CEO of OpenAI's conferences that he went to and sort of summarizing them really well. And like, there was like five key moments. He's reading the papers. He's summarizing it very well. He's uploading frequently. I really like what he's doing. And then on the other hand, there's this other guy named AI Advantage, right? And I'm just like, even just that name, AI Advantage, like, I'm just like, I know exactly what kind of person you're trying to become, right? Like this sort of path, you know, this category of, you know, YouTube to like tutorials to selling courses and making promises, right? And so the contrast is just big. And then, you know, like it's funny, like AI has just become one of those things that like everybody's got an opinion on, right? And so, you know, I find it refreshing. I find it energizing. I don't like the bad stuff, but some of the good stuff. And just as a fellow listener, just like you, like I enjoy the content. And to be honest, like I've been covering this stuff since 2020. At times, I think I'm quite jaded, right? Like I've kind of seen the progress. I've seen so much. I'm skeptical, you know. And, you know, it's good to have some young blood in here and, you know, just sort of energize the space too. But I mean, with that said, so, you know, going back to it, so I talked about where we're at today, the era we're in. So in terms of AI media, it's a golden era with, you know, tremendous, you know, some downfalls where, you know, I'm sure there's going to be scams. I'm sure there's going to be courses. There's going to be, you know, all these people are going to get exploited, right? But, you know, that so maybe that's one element of the era we're in. The other element is, you know, and related to media is just the hype, right? Like it is a crazy amount of hype, right? And I want to be careful because you use GPT-4, you use ChatGPT, you use these tools, and you do see the merits, right? Like you do see, if you understand the scaling laws, like you're like, you know, to some extent the hype is justified, right? But you know, I'm more of an old head now, right? Maybe I'm skeptical suddenly, you know, maybe I'm filling that void of skepticism. In 2020, I was more on the hype end, you know, but I personally am, I think in this era, there's a lot of hype. You know, it's almost assumed that, you know, we're going to get AGI, we're going to get artificial superintelligence, we're going to get all these things. And, you know, I can understand that perspective, but maybe I'm jaded, but I sometimes am skeptical of it. Like I think the scaling laws and, you know, increased efficiencies on the language model, transformer architecture, while I do think they do represent some path to perhaps general or perhaps super intelligence, right? Like if you just follow the scaling laws, right? Where I'm at and where I'm skeptical is I would like to see breakthroughs in other areas. Right. And I think the combination of something like a transformer or a language model or a multimodal model with something else. Right. And so that something else could be in any of these areas, whether it's consciousness, reasoning, reinforcement learning, right, like goal setting, long term memory. I would personally like to see some other kind of breakthrough. Which basically sort of taps into some of the neurological things we know about the brain. And I think any of these other abilities could then lead to something perhaps like AGI and artificial superintelligence. However, if we simply continue the dumb path we're on, it's possible with the dumbest architecture, the least efficient one, we still might get there anyways. But I mean, so that's just where I come out. Like the hype, you know, I'm a little bit 50-50. I do see a fair amount of the business applications. I do see the startup applications, but you know, like it's still very much though, like, I think there's a lot of fundamental things going on in the space, right? Like I think it's actually hard right now to start a startup probably in AI because most people have used ChatGPT. And so, like, you know, how are you going to compete with something people are used to opening 20 times a day? Right. Like if you know, it's assumed ChatGPT will likely do a lot of what your tool will do and tons of other things, like you need to be that much more valuable in order for people to come over and use your tool. Right. So I can see the value, although I can see maybe bigger companies benefiting from it. The hype around the startups, I'm a little bit skeptical. I'm still waiting to see a proper startup model built using OpenAI that generates serious revenue that isn't getting competed out right now by ChatGPT, right? And I think I heard there was some layoffs going on at Jasper. I don't know how things are going on at CopyAI. I sort of use CopyAI as a case study to see how they do. And so, yeah, a lot of hype, a lot of media, a lot of experts. Everybody's got an opinion on AI. And you know, we're in this era where it's just in the zeitgeist, right? Like, you know, CNN is talking about it. Snoop Dogg is talking about it. Snoop Dogg had a conversation with ChatGPT. You know, politicians are talking about it. This went from something small. You showed a friend, it was a cool parlor trick in your parents' basement, to Congress, right? To the Senate, to Biden, right? And so, you know, it's a much bigger attention scale. It is, you know, nested into the zeitgeist. It's not a small thing that a specific group of nerds are talking about, right? I would say at this point, like, many developers, probably most developers, are interested in language models, which is really interesting. In fact, like, I would say they're more interested in AI and language models than perhaps any other area of technology right now, which is also shocking. I think there's a lot of good work going on in many areas of technology, even, I'm sure, perhaps if you work in tech in your job, but it just doesn't get covered because the zeitgeist is just fully caught up in AI or whatever OpenAI is announcing or whatever's going on. And so anyways, yeah, like, it, you know, it's just fascinating. And it definitely has captured the interest and mindset of many people. We're also in this sort of third tier of just fear, uncertainty, doubt. You know, as the capabilities improve, so do the calls for safety, for alignment, to, you know, perhaps halt the models, to regulate. And I think there is this almost deep, you know, fear. I don't want to say it's built into humans, but, you know, the way people react to, like, you know, I showed somebody ChatGPT and they were like, this is my job, right? Both the smartest person and the dumbest person I know both told me that AI is going to kill us all. Both. And it's kind of like that midwit meme. I don't know if you've seen it, but, like, yeah. And, you know, it took my friend, like, I showed him ChatGPT and he went from, oh, wow, this is cool. Oh, wow, I could use this to my job. And no hesitation, he looked at me and was like, it's going to kill us all. And, you know, maybe there's something deep within humans, how we're wired. You know, we can recognize these kinds of threats immediately. And, you know, especially because it concerns our own living, our safety, our families, our livelihood. And so there's also this, you know, deep fear around it, right? I would say at a, you know, maybe a fourth pillar to this sort of era we're in, I'd say things are quite chaotic. Late last year and earlier this year, I was quite upset at how OpenAI managed the rollout of GPT 3.5 and GPT 4. I had it in writing in 2021 that my biggest prediction was that in 2022, AI, especially language models like GPT 3, are going to take over schools and college campuses. And that's exactly what happened. The writing was on the wall. And I just wasn't a fan with how OpenAI handled it, right? The schools, the systems were not at all ready. You know, it has affected education. This is a class. This generation of students were set back by COVID. They had to do remote learning for 2 to 3 years. They have perhaps a less developed curriculum, less developed social skills. And on top of that, now AI is happening. And, you know, they're submitting these essays without that thinking around it. We can argue at what points it's good they're using AI or bad, but I just think sometimes AI is, you know, because of its capabilities, it can just be so chaotic if it's not managed appropriately, if it's not rolled out appropriately. And I get it. Part of the reason to do these rollouts and have this beta is so that we can find these kinds of things. But at the same time, there's some level of corporate responsibility as well. I still haven't heard back from OpenAI. Or I haven't seen them publish anything about education and what they're doing about it, what the thinking was, what they learned from it. They released this terrible model, which they knew could maybe 50% of the time judge if something was written by AI or not. And I think I read today that they rolled even that back, right? And so to me, it was kind of like, oh, we got to show we did something. And they put up this nonsense. And, you know, it was sort of a very half-assed attempt at this is an important question, right? Like, you know, how are we going to work with schools? You know, how's the model going to affect schools, right? Like, what's the policy around it? And I, to be honest, I don't think there was any plan on OpenAI's side at all, especially, and you know, it was so obvious that it's going to take over schools. I mean, they're publishing their own research showing it's, you know, scoring high on you know, different exams, like the US bar and all these things. And yet I didn't see any policies around education. So the education piece, sorry for going off, but like, it was like, it was one, you know, area where we're seeing this chaos, right? There are other examples too, where, for example, you know, somebody used ChatGPT to write this really emotional letter to get back, you know, with his girlfriend. And then later she found out it was written by ChatGPT. And if it wasn't for that letter, she never would have got back with him. You know, people are using AI to write Mother's Day notes, which is super messed up. And so, yeah, like, you know, this, you know, we're in this chaotic era. I think people are scared. People are hyped. And also, I would say people are susceptible and vulnerable to, you know, these really kinds of predatory AI media people. At the same time, I think, you know, things are quite closed door. I don't know what's going on at the discussions with Anthropic and OpenAI, NVIDIA. You know, so much of this is built around AI hardware. And so basically, you know, speaking maybe from a democratic perspective, like, we don't actually know what's happening in the AI world unless we as a people are also included in these discussions around hardware. Who is buying all the GPUs? What are they doing with them? What are the plans, right? What are the restrictions around them, right? And, you know, what are the capabilities that are possible now or that we imagine in the future? And so, yeah, like, I don't know what's going on. I don't know what's going on in the closed discussions with, you know, politicians and the president. And, you know, we also still don't know what went into GPT 3.5 and GPT-4. What's the architecture? What are the parameters? Of course, there were some leaks, right? But, you know, it's things have become a lot more hunkered down than they used to be. And so anyways, yeah, it's just an interesting era. Now, me personally, one of the things I've been dealing with this year, I think I've been privately in my personal life quite impulsive. I think, you know, I myself have been dealing with this larger fear of AGI and super intelligence. Earlier this year, I put out this post and it was basically like, it's time to party like it's pre-AGI. And like, you know, I've been impulsive. I've been making different kinds of decisions. Maybe moving to Toronto was one of those decisions. I just want to live, you know, because I'm not quite sure what's next. As a developer, somebody who codes full time, I had this realization this year, this might be my last summer as a developer where I'm coding, I get paid, I'm respected, and this might be that last summer where it's still the heyday for my job. And so just dealing with that, I've just been trying to live. I've been impulsive, I'm making different kinds of decisions. You know, I've felt somewhat of like a indifference and just sort of this feeling of why bother. And, you know, I'm sure other people feel this way too, right? You know, even the students, like, what's the point of writing this essay if AI is going to write the essay, right? And so, yeah, I definitely think there's some bigger transition going on, right? Even for myself included. And so, yeah, I think right now we're almost like calm before the storm kind of thing. People are adjusting. And I think everybody's more in tune. I think there's more attention to this stuff because the greater capabilities we have, the more irrelevant we become, which is quite a sad thing to say out loud now that I say it. But anyways, like, that's just the era we're in. And certainly for me, like, coding just means a lot to me, right? Like, it's something I've been doing since I was 10 years old. And to, you know, to just see this skill in a very visceral way, be automated away, you know, to see Silicon Valley, you know, they're not hiring as many programmers anymore. They're already sort of shifting in that direction. Just to see it start to happen and feel it is, you know, it's just unbelievable. And it's just a big change we're living through. And so, yeah, people are tuned into AI media because they're sort of worried about their life, right? Anyways, yeah, some level of depression, some level of hopelessness on my end and skepticism. And I apologize, but that's just how I feel. And what else? What else is going on in this era? Yeah, I would say, like, you know, I just watched Oppenheimer over the weekend and I didn't really like it, but, you know, I do think, you know, even in art, we're seeing some kinds of related content that's very relevant to AI, very relevant to the zeitgeist. There was this line in Oppenheimer where they're like, you know, this is not just like a science experiment or something. This is like a whole new world. What we're making is a whole new world. And you know, the AI arms race, in my opinion, is just as real, right? And you know, that's just what we're in. I think there were some parallels I felt even between Oppenheimer and the CEO of OpenAI, Sam Altman, too. I think I felt that at some level, which was also crazy. But yeah, like, it's, you know, all this stuff is, you know, it's not just out there, it's in the zeitgeist. It's not just technical documentation, it's in the zeitgeist. It's not just on Twitter, it's not just on the OpenAI Discord, right? On the Eleuther AI Discord, it's in the zeitgeist. And as someone who's kind of, you know, been at least in the GPT-3 community since 2020, it's just crazy to see, right? It's surreal. You know, I was I was at a party and, you know, somebody looked at me and was like, oh, do you know about this thing I've been using it at work? It's called ChatGPT. And I was looking at him like, you have no idea who you're speaking to. And, you know, it's also interesting to just hear how people use it. And, oh, yeah, I'm definitely looking forward. You know, I got a summer job. I don't know, like, how to code for, like, data science stuff. Like, I'm really counting on it. And and it's just unbelievable. So, anyways, let me think. Anything else about the era we're in? Definitely a lot of interest in it. It seems to be the only thing going on in technology. It seems to be absorbing all matter in the universe already, all attention. And at the same time, like, I'm kind of, like I mentioned, like, I'm not just skeptical, but, like, you know, I took a break from Twitter this week and I was just kind of like, there's always things going on, but there's a difference between signal and noise, right? And again, like, I'm still waiting for some really good breakthroughs. I would like breakthroughs in all these different areas, like I mentioned: long-term memory, consciousness, reasoning, goal setting. I could probably come up with a few more. You know, motivation, right? These are things that I still think we're missing, but I think any one of these things and you have something incredibly, incredibly powerful. So anyways, I think we'll close out. That's sort of the life update. It's sort of my vibe lately. I think the last thing I'll talk about is just the super alignment team from OpenAI. This was an announcement two and a half weeks ago. So, I mean, to begin with, like, I think as somebody who's covered OpenAI for 2-3 years now, like, I've just noticed there's a difference in how they act sometimes when they got the goods and how they act when they do not. And so take, for example, reinforcement learning with human feedback. They dropped that paper last January, so January 2022, as a part of InstructGPT, right? And definitely InstructGPT was sort of the precursor to ChatGPT, right? Like, I don't think you would have had ChatGPT if it wasn't for InstructGPT. And they sort of released the paper. It wasn't that big of a deal, you know? There's some research. They had that, you know, some good stuff in the abstract, right? And so it was research, then announcement, you know? And, like, it was the goods. Like, I remember, you know, if you go back to the iconic podcast from last year, the episode called "Instruct GPT is a Game Changer," I was like, this is the goods. Like, this is what we want. Like, we need more of this. Like, what are we doing? Right. Like, and I was just shocked, like, how little hype there was about InstructGPT. Like, it was so many of the things we had wanted from GPT-3 for years. And so, you know, like, it's, and even then, like, they didn't hype it much after, you know, and I sort of was really excited about reinforcement learning with human feedback, at least for the time being. I think it was a you know, reasonable solution. And, you know, later they sort of rolled it into ChatGPT, and it was kind of obvious in hindsight, you know, and like, anyway, so it was kind of like, you know, research came first and then sort of hype and stuff. And, you know, like this announcement a few weeks ago, like, I mean, I think it makes sense. You want a super alignment team. You want a team that is focused on alignment of super intelligence. But I just didn't see any of the goods. Like, what's the plan? What's the insight? They basically said they're going to solve super alignment in 4 years, right? Like, we you know, we don't even have like really good research, I think, on interpretability, right? Like, we don't know how these models think, how they're doing it. I mean, they did publish something about, you know, using GPT-4 to sort of translate GPT-3 and those kinds of things. But I feel like a lot of this is just kind of throwing stuff on the wall. I feel like their alignment team has kind of become this function within the org to show that they're always doing something. Like, it feels to me more like a PR and comms marketing thing, a PR and comms announcement, rather than science and research driven. What are the insights that make you think you can solve super alignment in 4 years, right? And, you know, what is substantive there? What is there to go off of, right? And clearly, unless they know things that the rest of the industry just really doesn't know, you know, it, to me, like, I was quite skeptical. And, you know, there's issues with our current alignment as well. Like, there's, you know, there's so many ways to fool ChatGPT. You know, what makes them think that they could solve alignment at that level of something many, many times smarter than them? And so, yeah, I'm starting to feel like some of their safety alignment stuff has become more marketing and just less research and science. I would like OpenAI to publish more safety and alignment research in the way that Anthropic does. And, you know, I understand they're a company, but I do think they should share more of some of their insights around building GPT-4. You know, I understand it's a business, but I do think it's in everybody's best interest. You know, if I think it makes sense to have more hands on deck if you are trying to solve something like alignment. And so anyways, yeah, that was it about super alignment. Like, I'd like to see stuff. I would like to see stuff. For the time being, I'm very skeptical. Like, to me, I was like, what? Like, are you guys like a brand now? Like, is this like, where's the goods? Show me the goods, right? And, you know, this is science, right? This is not like marketing. Marketing is not going to solve your science problem, basically, right? And then, anyways, one small thing I saw yesterday, Sam Altman was talking about WorldCoin, and they're ready to go public, and it's going to provide perhaps universal basic income from the benefits of AI. If you're a listener of the podcast, you know, shout out. I think this was an episode early last year. I predicted something similar for WorldCoin. At the time, I called it a conspiracy theory because it just seemed non-obvious. But it's also excited to see that prediction pan out. That yes, WorldCoin may be a way, as OpenAI makes billions or trillions of dollars, for us to also get a piece of it. So it's very exciting to see. What to look forward to. Maybe quickly I could chat about DALL-E, I guess. Or do I have any smaller predictions? I feel like DALL-E, maybe I want to do in a future, maybe in the next episode. I'm not going to close on a prediction, but I will say, like, I'm also skeptical of, you know, I think agent GPTs, like, Auto GPT and Baby AGI, and there was like a, I think an Engineer GPT. I think they're cool. It might be one of those things where they're toys now, but over time they will be quite powerful. I think they're, you know, pretty cool and pretty fun. And but I'm like very skeptical of them. Again, like I think what really moves the needle in this industry is fundamental advances, right? So if you work on long-term memory, if you work on reasoning, then AutoGPT gets like a million times better, right? But the value is not necessarily in AutoGPT itself. No disrespect to whoever made AutoGPT. Again, like I think it's cool, but I personally am a little bit skeptical about it. Even a lot of the OpenAI plugins, like I haven't quite enjoyed using them, even with the Bing integrated into it. The promise of it is not currently living up to the current capabilities we have today. It's almost like we're using language models in, and we are, to be honest, like we're using them in ways they're not necessarily designed to be used, right? Obviously, in the future, hopefully it'll get better. But yeah, I'm not the biggest fan of AutoGPT, and I'm definitely not a big fan of LangChain. Oh God. I think there's just something about LangChain. I don't know. It just makes me cringe. Like I just want nothing to do with LangChain. I don't know what it is. Like I understand the benefit of it. Like, you know, you can have these plugins. It makes it easier to integrate the API and stuff. Like I understand probably a lot of enterprise corporate uses. There's just something about it. I think the whole thing is stupid. And I'm glad that, you know, there's like a million AI podcasts now because I could say stuff like that and not get scrutinized. Nobody's going to care or know because there's so much noise. And so this is quite fun. I realize, you know, it's really exciting for me. I used to make a lot of content for beginners, right? For people who are just getting into this stuff, to try to get people to check out something like ChatGPT, or check out GPT-3, I should say, specifically. And so it's really exciting to me because the people who listen to my podcast have kind of been listening since early on. And it's kind of like, you know, to be honest, like we're kind of the core in the whole space, in the whole community. And so for me, it's kind of nice. Like my audience is different now. Like it's not someone who knows nothing about it, who I'm trying to convince. It's kind of exciting to me that it's, you know, people who've probably been there from the beginning. These are people probably just as jaded as me. Maybe people working on it, using it, you know, excited just as much as me. And I'm glad that I'm kind of back under the radar because things were getting too real last year. Like it was like too much. You know, there was so many people just reaching out to me. The podcast was growing so much and I just hated how much I spread myself thin. Like, you know, I was growing so much and so many people were interested in what I had to say, but I was kind of like sick of spreading myself thin. What I loved most is just making something for like 100 people and engaging with those 100. And like that way, whatever I say is also not being scrutinized and I can express myself and actually have fun. And so anyways, yeah, really excited to be back. Next week we will chat about DALL-E and sort of the future multimodal AI models. I want to chat about it because DALL-E is a graveyard. Oh my God. It is so dead right now. Like it's almost uncool. It's like the moment you say DALL-E, there's like a disc scratch and the whole party stops to look at you. Like, did he really just say DALL-E? And like, anyways, we're going to talk about it. Like I believe OpenAI is cooking up something, but you know, it's likely it's going to be rolled into ChatGPT or something anyways. But next week, I want to chat about sort of DALL-E, future multimodal AI models, and just sort of how I feel about all that stuff. So anyways, thank you for tuning in to the return of multimodal. And so you know where to find me, youtube.com/BAKZTFuture. I want to give a shout out to all the Substack subscribers. Very sweet of you all to continue supporting me. It's been very quiet on my end for the past few months. I really, really appreciate it from the bottom of my heart. It's very, 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 very sweet of you all to continue to support me. BAKZTFuture, BAKZTFuture.substack.com. You can find me on Twitter at BAKZTFuture. Instagram, BAKZTFuture, although I don't know why. Why would you follow me on Instagram? But that's up to you. Make sure you're subscribed to the podcast, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Pocket Casts. One thing you can do is also set it to auto download and jump straight to the top of your queue. For someone like me who uploads so infrequently, if you enjoy the podcast, this is a great way. And you can also set up notifications on Spotify so you will be notified. It will be in your queue and you will not miss an episode. Anyways, thank you so much for tuning in. I hope you have a great week, day, night, morning, evening, whatever you got going on. I'll talk to you next week. Have a good one. Bye.